Saram, dear listeners, and welcome to Fleeting Moments, Lasting Memories, our series of conversations with former students of Bhagwan's educational institutions. And today, our guest in the studios is Brother K. Arun Kumar. It is really interesting that we are having this conversation, and I will tell you in a while why it is so. Arun hails from Visakhapatnam, Andhra Pradesh, and after his schooling in that city, he did his graduation in civil engineering in IIT Kharagpur. The IITs, as many would know, are the premier institutions to do engineering in India. It was after this degree that he stepped into Sri Sathya Sai Institute of Higher Learning in the year 1999 for his management degree. In 2001, he completed his MBA, and after this, I should say, started another glorious phase of his life. He had the most blessed and privileged opportunity of serving Swami at very close quarters for all those years between 2001 and 2005. In fact, if you remember visiting Prashantilayam during that period, you must have seen him walking behind Swami, ready to assist Bhagwan in any way Swami wishes. In fact, it was during this period that Swami also gave him the opportunity of serving in Radio Sai. Yes, in fact, he's one of the early direct recruits of Swami to Radio Sai. And I said that this is really an interesting occasion, because what I am doing now is what he was doing 7-8 years ago. He had the privilege of taking direct instructions from Swami and contributing immensely in those initial years of Radio Sai. And today, he is here in Prashantinilam again for Radio Sai work. In fact, today is July 14, 2013, and since morning, we are having live programs in our Telugu stream to commemorate the second anniversary of this stream. As per Bhagwan's command, the Telugu stream started during Guru Purnima celebrations in 2011, and it is 2 years since then. Acceding to my request, Arun is here with me now to share about his indelible moments with Bhagwan, his training that he received at Bhagwan's lotus feet, and of course, his fond recollections of being a part of the Radio Sai team then. He currently lives and works in Hyderabad and is involved in the activities of the Sai organization there. In fact, he has to leave in 2 hours from now. So, welcome Arun, and I really thank Bhagwan that he has made it possible that we are having this conversation now. You are able to take some time out.
Thank you.
And be with us.
Thank you. Thank you very much, Vishu. It's been really a great homecoming for me to have come back and participated in this wonderful program. For any student of Swami who comes here, I can bet that although their bodies leave the portal, their soul always remains in this place, because this is where they got the greatest lessons of their life, and this is where those fleeting moments have been converted into lasting memories which are serving us for the rest of our life and for generations to come. So it's been great seeing all the people here. Some of us worked together, and some of the boys are new boys, but it's been a great progress, and the way everything is being orchestrated by Swami, in the way in which the media, the digital media, the web, everything is being flooded in this age of internet where you can find all sorts of information. I think this is a great oasis in the digital world where everybody can partake of the avatar's glorious mission.
Yes, exactly. In fact, you perhaps also remember the feedback that you were receiving then, and we continue to receive such feedback even now, saying that,
absolutely,
you know, this
amazing
is one website, this is one place where we feel that the internet is being put to such good use.
Exactly, exactly. I think those messages, more than anything, when the readers and the listeners come back to you, and, you know, I remember so many messages coming back, it was, they used to communicate that such and such a talk or such and such an article has transformed their lives, but every message that we read, you know, personally, it transformed my life, because we just realized what is the impact of Swami's message, how deep and how lasting its effects can be. It was wonderful, and I'm really glad to have come back on this day, and I'm really thankful that all of you remembered me, and you know.
Come on, you are so much a part of Radio Sai, and we can never ever forget how you were. So fortunate in those initial years to be part of the Radio Sahiti.
Yeah, yes.
And there are so many things coming in my mind now what to ask you, because you know, I'm really very eager to know about those initial days of Radio Sai.
Yes.
Because you were there when Bhagwan came to the studio and inaugurated the studio.
Correct. Yes.
And also you had those amazing years with Bhagwan. So let us begin from where it all started.
Yeah.
And then we'll come here. I will have to hold my eagerness. But perhaps it'll all fall in place.
Yes.
If we come through this chronology.
Definitely. Yes.
So tell us, how did you happen to become a student in the first place? Did you have the dream to become a student, or just you realized that you were in the institute one day?
Well, to be honest, it was my dream.
Okay.
And literally also, there was a dream.
Oh, fantastic.
So you're actually factually correct when you say it was my dream. But anyway, I think let me begin by giving a brief background that from my childhood, for me, Bhagwan has been a de facto God.
Mm-hmm.
Because I used to see Bhagwan's portrait in our puja room, which my parents had kept.
So this is like from the time you...
From the time...
You were aware.
Yeah, from the time I'm aware. So the moment I saw Bhagwan's picture, I just thought he was God and nobody...
Because your parents told you?
They didn't even tell me. They just put the picture in the altar and so he, along with all the other gods.
So it was there.
So it was, you know, by comparison, you know. So all these are gods.
Yes.
And I didn't even know that Swami was walking on earth.
Oh, okay. He thought he was someone like Ramakrishna.
Yeah, I thought so. And slowly when I was growing up, one of my aunts, who was one of our close relatives, who were actually staying in Jamshedpur in the 60s and 70s.
Mm-hmm.
They were great devotees of the Lord. And it was one day that suddenly my aunt shared all her experiences and their family's experiences. And it kind of blew me away. It laid the foundation for me that, hey, this is something great. And so
how old were you then? Which class were you then?
I was probably in my 5th or 6th standard. So
sometime in the 80s.
Yeah, sometime in the 80s. Late 80s maybe. So that was when I really came to know about Swami, and I came to know that Swami was a living entity. Also, during the same time, when I used to ask my dad to tell me some stories, he used to tell me the story of how Swami would go on to the Kalpavruksha.
Yes.
And ask people, what do you want? And Swami would pluck out the fruit of their choice.
Yes.
So that he kind of told me in a slightly appealing way, saying, you know, Swami would pluck out chocolate or Swami would pluck out ice cream.
So that,
you know,
really fascinated.
Yeah, that really fascinated me. And that is the only thing my father ever told me about Swami. But that kind of went deep into my heart that Swami was. And there were several influences in my school just at the same time when I was getting to know Swami. And now I see all that back and I feel that, you know, Swami had kind of planned and sent me information about him from all channels, from my relatives. And in school, I was a student who was involved in extracurricular activities and I was getting a lot of prizes and awards in the debates and elocutions, etc., etc. And one of the teachers, one of my teachers, we used to call him CLN sir, he was a great devotee of Swami. We never knew about it. But what
this is not the Sai school in Vishakhapatnam.
No, this is a Sri Krishna Vidya Mandir. It's one of the schools run by the RSS.
Okay. Rashtriya Swayam
Sevak
Sangh.
Yeah. And
so a lot of emphasis on Indian culture.
And once in a while, the school principal used to tell our school should become like the Puttaparthi school.
Oh, is it?
Yeah.
Wonderful.
So comparisons were being made, actually. Now, coming back to our teacher, our English teacher, whenever I won a prize, he, instead of gifting me some trophy or some cup or some medal, he always used to gift Swami's books.
Mm-hmm.
So one of the competitions I got Gita Vahini, and another competition I got Satyam Shivam Sundaram, all in English.
Mm.
And I started reading them and I started knowing about Swami. So that's how my interest in Swami grew. So I chanced upon the book My Baba and I by Hislop. That book completely blew me away. you know, every page was like mesmerizing and it was totally, I
the
couldn't believe.
The first 150 pages are filled with amazing
events and the whole story of how Swami materialized the crucifix.
Yes.
And how the storm had come and so many other experiences. It was totally incredible. I think for the next 2 or 3 days I couldn't sleep. I said, this is a great phenomenon and I need to meet this person. And that was when I firmly decided and I started thinking of getting into Swami's institutes. But then I think by the time I was in my plus two and 11th and 12th, and one day somebody took me to the Sat Sai Mandir in Vishakhapatnam. It's a beautiful place. And I attended the bhajan and it was a very, very thrilling experience, the music and the fervor with which the boys had sung. So without my knowledge, I was kind of drawn into the Swami's fold. My thoughts were always revolving around Swami and I was thinking, what will it be if I meet this person? You know, how will it be and what would he say to me? It was kind of infatuated with the concept of Swami.
Such a person is, if he's actually living
yes,
on earth.
Yes, that's what, that first of all, it's so unbelievable and now he's walking on earth. So I couldn't take my mind off him. And that was in my plus two. And of course, with all the competition, everything, I was preparing hard for the IIT exam. And
So you didn't think of joining here for graduation at that time?
No, I didn't. I always wanted to get into the IITs.
IITs, that was another dream.
Yeah, so I was like, I worked very hard. And at the same time, I was reading a lot of Swami's books. At the same time, I was reading a lot of stuff for the IIT. And I used to read a lot in the nights and do a lot of night outs with my friends and, you know, until 6 o'clock in the morning, then drink some coffee, have some breakfast and sleep, again, get up in the afternoon. It was a very perverted schedule, I should say, in the sense that we were all slogging out in the nights. So my first experience came when one morning when I was sleeping, I suddenly saw Swami in a white robe in my dream. And Swami was in his Abhayahasta. And I believe he was standing near the Ganesha, which used to be there in the Prashanthi Nilayam.
The Ganesha in the Sai Kulwant Hall?
Kulwant Hall.
Sai Kulwant Hall.
Kulwant Hall.
Yeah.
So Swami was there and he just said, Ratri Puta Ekkuga Chadavuku Bangaru. Arogyam Padavutundi. That is in Telugu, which means that don't study too much in the nights. It will spoil your health.
Oh my God.
So
this is the first time he is coming in your dream.
That was the first time. I didn't even knew that he came in the dream. And I just caught up with a startled feeling and it was a very, very pleasant and blissful feeling. I didn't know for what, but it was like, it was great. And I was able to recollect the dream like it was a live experience. So I continued to think about it, but then after some time, you know, I thought maybe it's my imagination. So I just left it like that. And by the time I had subscribed for Sanatana Saradhi, I thought I should start reading Swami's message. So when I received my first copy of Sanatana Saradhi just a few days after this dream, I just opened the Sanatana Saradhi and there was a speech of Swami in the first page where Swami was addressing the students. And in the first page, my eyes immediately fell on a paragraph in which Swami says, students should not study too much in the night. It will spoil their health and it is only demons who stay awake in the night. And it was very startling to me that here was this, few days back I saw Swami in my dream and he was saying the same thing.
Very clear dream.
Very clear. And now I get it as if, you know, you don't believe some things if it's not written, like an agreement. So it came on print and the message was unmistakable. It was for real. And he was telling me that this is my message to you. That was my first experience of Swami.
Trying to confirm.
Confirm, yeah. So that kind of established my faith and I was yearning for more and more such experiences. So it continued and my involvement with the Sai movement and I voraciously read the books of Swami. There was a small library in the Sat Sai Mandir at Vishakhapatnam And CLN sir, who was presenting Ms. Swami's books, was the honorary librarian there.
Okay.
So one day he called me and he said, Arun, I'm going out of station for a week and I need somebody to manage the library. So would you be able to manage it? I said, okay. And then I took over the library for a week. In the evening, people would come and borrow books. And more than giving books to people, I had a chance to voraciously read and lap up so many books of Swami in that 1 week. I read so many books about Swami and it was amazing.
That was a huge blessing.
Huge blessing. And I think it was arranged by Swami. And so now I started dreaming about getting into Swami's institute. But anyway, Swami was kind enough to bless me with a seat in the IITs. And I went into the IIT for the 4 years and had a good time. There also, in a very miraculous way, I met so many people, so many professors who were all Swami's devotees. So they became my IIT, yes. They became my local guardians. And I used to attend bhajans. Every day there used to be a bhajan in IIT.
Every day?
Every day in somebody's house. In the campus. In the campus. A lot of professors from different states, they used to have bhajans. So I used to go, I used to sing, we used to go and do service. So throughout my engineering, I was totally involved with the Sai movement. You know, the Sarvadharma Stupa, which was constructed by Brigadier S.K. Bose.
Yes.
He was the director of IIT Kharagpur.
Oh, at that time when you...
Before that. But because of his legacy, all the professors who joined in the campus then, they all got introduced to Swami and the movement continued. There's a lot of following for Swami in West Bengal. Amazing. It's so invisible, but it's so totally spread out. And it was amazing. So throughout the IIT years, I think the influence of Swami made sure that I didn't really fall prey to the regular waywardness of the engineering students. Because, you know, when people, usually students find freedom suddenly, there was a lot of people were going into the wrong ways. But luckily for me, because of Bhagwan's grace, I was tightly holding on to the Sai group instead of socializing with the wrong groups. And it kind of helped me to overcome my teenage years without getting into the, I would say, the wrong ways of adulthood or adolescence.
Yes.
So I finished my engineering and then I joined in one public sector undertaking called Engineers India Limited. Mm-hmm. So I worked for 1 year after my engineering.
Okay.
And it was that time I had a dream again.
Mm-hmm.
And Swami was in an auditorium. He was sitting in an auditorium and I was sitting next to him. And I asked Swami, Swami, I want to study in your institute. Swami said, yes. And then I asked him, Swami, I want to work in your institute. Swami said, tappakunda, yes. So that was a dream.
Mm-hmm.
And it ended. But I had a habit of writing down all my dreams so that I don't forget. So I wrote this dream down. So that was an assurance given by Swami that I would study and I would work in his institute. And later on, at the same time, I was preparing for getting into IIM. You know, the natural trajectory
yes.
for an IIT student is to get into an IIM. So I was preparing very hard for IIM. At the same time, I was having my eye on Swami's MBA also in Swami's institute. So again, one night, Swami comes into my dream and tells me, why are you preparing for IIM? You will not get it.
Oh my God.
So I took it as a challenge. Aray, how come Swami is telling me I will not get it? But then by a strange twist of things, although I prepared very well, I couldn't clear IIM.
So you did right then.
I did go to the exam and the exam center was St. Anne's Girls' School.
Mm-hmm.
Girls' School or Girls' College in Hyderabad.
Mm-hmm.
And I went inside. I sat in the hall. And after I sat in the hall, I had the urge to go and ease myself out.
Mm.
And I asked the examiner to let me out. He said, we don't usually allow people to go out, but you have to come back in a few minutes. And I went out. It being a girls' school, I couldn't really find a place which I can use. And so because I had a time limit, I came back. and I wanted to write the exam, but this whole urge for the
predicament.
So it totally distracted my mind and I couldn't write anything. And walked out of the exam.
So that's,
after some time.
That was how your IIM entrance went.
Yeah, that was how. And I prepared very well, I couldn't answer anything.
You don't know anything can happen.
Yeah. So I just came back and I came for Swami's college entrance. And
Swami told you, you're not going to clear.
Yeah,
that.
He told me.
He made you learn about it the hard way.
He made sure that although you can prepare well, there are other ways I can make sure that you don't get through. At least that's my belief. So I came back here to Satsai Institute and I wrote the exam and I prayed hard to Swami that I should get in, and it was a great moment for me when my name was displayed on the next day that I have been selected in the written, and there was a group discussion. So finally, I think very quickly, I came to know that in a few days that I got selected. Mm-hmm. So that was the beginning of my journey with Swami, and I think the whole crucible where my life was about to be totally changed and transformed. So, yeah, it was a dream, and it was literally a dream, and the dream came true.
Fantastic. You said this was a place where your life completely transformed, but from what you said till now, you were into Swami all the time, and you were into trying to lead a life the kind that Swami expects. You know, even in engineering days, you didn't get into the wrong ways. And so you're so much, you have read so much about Swami. So you're actually almost in this wavelength. Now, what really happened that, you know, you're saying that your life changed dramatically?
Yeah. Of course, I was in the wavelength, but it was all intellectual. It was at the level of what Swami calls bookish knowledge, you know. But I think Swami's message is very simple. And the most important thing that people are not able to practice is the art of being happy, always, cheerful. I think that is, according to me, Swami's most important. And all your bookish knowledge, all your intellectual knowledge, all your knowledge of Swami's teachings, message, everything is of no consequence if this is what Swami has come to do. He wants to make us all happy, be cheerful and make everybody else happy. So to put it very simply, I learned the art of being happy when I came to Swami.
That's fantastic. In fact, the moment you mention about spirituality, especially to teenagers of these times, you know, the immediate thought that comes is a very dry thing. You know, it's meant for all those guys who have renounced everything. There is no fun there. And you're not going to have all this color in life. And it's
going to be
a very sorry statement. You're not really making the most of your life. That is the kind of feeling that you get, right?
Correct.
Most of the time.
Right.
People outside, especially teenagers.
Yes.
You feel, that's why you just shut yourself off. I want to enjoy life. You know, you don't talk to me about spirituality.
Yeah.
But here you are telling me that spirituality, you learned the art of being happy.
Yes. In fact, the
spirituality was fun for you.
Exactly. In fact, you got it right. He made life a great deal of real thrill and joy and fun. And when I came here, I realized that life can be so much buzzing with energy, and the way the institute and the whole system has been framed here, it gave great vent to your creativity. And he was always for action, and, you know, he wanted his students to be live wires. He wanted us to be happy. That's what he said. I've come here to make you happy. That's his simple message.
So you saw here how, even though it's a completely spiritual environment, but there is so much of energy and there is so much activity and there is so much fun.
There was so much fun. There was so much activity. And I think this is the hostel that we stayed was the best hostel that you can ever get. You know?
You have stayed in IIT hostel before.
Of course I stayed. I had a single room. I had a cot for myself. But it was not something that really added value to my life. But here, I was sleeping on the floor. I was sharing my room with 12 other guys. But we were all together. We were eating together. We all went into departments which we had a passion for. Somebody went into the cards department. Somebody went into the maintenance. Somebody went into drama. And everybody was buzzing with activity. And I think Swami helped me convert my bookish knowledge into practical knowledge here. Like, he helped me to actually distill it and make it useful for me.
You know, all that you had studied in the books, now you are seeing how to actually put it in action.
Yeah, that's
experience
what
the joy, I mean, yeah. in real joy
yes,
of living all that you had
exactly.
sort of stuffed in your head.
Right. I think it's pertinent to share one of the experiences shared by James Sinclair.
Mm-hmm.
In our Radio Sai studios itself, in one of the interviews that we did for him some time back, was that, you know, Swami's message is like, one day Swami was with Sinclair alone, and that was one of the early days of Sinclair coming to Swami. And Sinclair is a very rich man.
Yes.
So the information is that he had ownership of a lot of diamond mines, etc., etc. So Swami was talking to Sinclair, and Swami said, "Sinclair, I want something from you." Sinclair then said, "Okay." So Swami knows that I'm a rich guy and that I own a lot of mines with diamonds and gold. So maybe he's going to ask me a big check for a donation or something for his institute. He said, "Yes, Swami, tell me, what can I give for you?" Then Swami said, "Promise me that you will always be happy."
That's what I want from you.
That's all I want from you. And he was totally blown away, and with such sincerity and such genuine affection, Swami had told him, "Promise me that you will always be happy." I think that is what Swami has helped me personally in all these years, to look at life from a perspective that it's a blessing, that the present moment is so important that you need to fill it with joy, you need to fill it with happiness, and you need to make it overflow so that others can share of that joy. So that's basically the answer to your question, that he literally taught me, which he must have done for each and every person who has come to the portals of this great institute, on how to lead a joyous, happy, and balanced life.
Sairam, dear listeners, you were listening to the first part of a conversation with K. Arun Kumar, an alumnus of Bhagwan's University, who after his graduation in IIT Kharagpur did his MBA in Baba's University in 2001. Later, he had the opportunity to serve Bhagwan at close quarters and also work in Radio Sai for some time. Currently, he is based in Hyderabad and is involved in the activities of the Sai organization there. This was yet another episode of our series, Fleeting Moments, Lasting Memories. This was recorded on July 14, 2013, and in conversation with him was Radio Sai's Bishop Roshti. Do send in your feedback to this program. As always, you can write to listener@radiosai.org. Thank you, and Sai Ram.